11 with me. I think there's things we can get into with the pleasing the Lord and being pleasing to God. And, you know, I think that God takes pleasure in us as kids. I really do. I think it's important that I want to bring pleasure, and I want to show you something. I really believe in the life of the believer, and we'll get into this a little more slightly into the message. I really believe the life of the believer. We okay, Armand?
Yeah.
I believe the life of the believer when it comes to things like peace, joy. Peace is really important. I like it. I like joy. I got to admit, I'm not the most joyful guy, seriously. I'm a guy to where joy, I don't think, came real easy. Peace seemed evasive sometimes. But as we're going to get into this in a second, I believe that my joy and my peace is directly connected to God's pleasure. I really do. Meaning, when God is pleased with Mike Cipella, or he's pleased with Armand, or I can name all you guys, it has a way of bringing joy to us. It has a way of bringing joy to us, if you're with me on that. So when God is, it's like saying, you know the old saying, when you're married, happy wife, happy life? You ever hear that? Well, if you didn't, you hear it now. Happy wife, happy life. There's a great truth to that. I can tell you that right now. That's actually scriptural. Did you know that? But bringing this to even another level, happy Lord, happy life. Please, Lord, please life. The thing is, if we start walking in a parallel with the Father, and the Father is pleased, I really believe, guys, now stick with me, I really believe as the Father is pleased, I believe that we feel that pleasure. I believe that it brings a peace to us. But the other thing I would also say, if the Father is grieved, I think it can really tap us. So I want to be pleasing to God. This morning, we're going to focus on one thing that pleases God. There's a few things in the scripture. But God, the amazing thing about God, he is the creator of the universe. But we know from the scripture that God laughs, right? He even laughs when it says in the second psalm, it says that when the earth comes, the people of the earth to fight against him and his anointed one, meaning Jesus, that it says the Lord sits in heaven and laughs, you know? And so we understand that the being of God has different components. He has joy, he has grief, he has wrath, he has love. In fact, it says he is love. So this is the interesting thing. Thinking about our joy, our peace, the thing we need, because I think peace is critical from God. So I just said that kind of opening up today, and I want to read to you Hebrews 11, 1 through 6. And out of the NASB, it says, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the men of old gained approval. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what was seen was not made out of things which are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained the testimony that he was righteous, God testifying about his gifts. And through faith, though he is dead, he still speaks. By faith Enoch was taken up so that he would not see the death. And he was not found because God took him up. For he obtained the witness that before his being taken up, he was pleasing to God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him." So you understand how critical, as you're living your Christian life, faith, you're doing it through faith. You're believing the life you live because God has asked you to live it. You're believing that God is good for his word. Now, what's interesting about faith, and I pray today we can stir your faith and we can pray for an increase in faith. I react to God as God would ask me, and even that action in itself is a motion of faith. And I believe God. And Satan messes with this. Satan does not mind you if faith is not in you. He doesn't mind, even as a Christian, if you cannot move by faith. Because it says it's impossible to please God without faith. So for me to trust God and to please God, faith is essential for me to walk. And the thing I've often said from the pulpit is, there is Christianity I could do without faith. I could, like, have some moral rules, try to get a little better life out of it all. And there wouldn't be a lot of steps, and I would never step out. I would never do anything. I would never do something that would require all of God. When I was talking to the men's meeting yesterday, we kind of went, and it was about taking your land, your promised land. And I said that when God led Israel into the promised land, he said, you are going into a nation with people who are mightier and bigger than you. So God puts this impossibility. Are you with me, guys? God actually says, I'm sending you somewhere that's impossible to be. Because I'm sending you, you're going to go to a place where the men, the people, are bigger and stronger. They're mightier than you. And when you read that, it seems kind of weird, because wouldn't the Lord pep talk and say, you know, I'm sending you into a land with people bigger and stronger, but they're nothing in my sight? Although he does talk about how he is with them. So that coming into the promise, they had to do something that they couldn't technically do. And faith would, the only way they're going to do that, you don't run to a battle that is bigger than you, stronger than you, that you don't have the physical capability of winning unless you believe God's fighting for you. And so you go to battle and you go to fight and God takes care of it. Every time God's going to call you into your promised land, he's going to call you into the things that he wants you to obtain, it is always going to be an issue where it is something that you could not naturally get. Something that your feelings won't help you out on. Something that is not physically doable always. So by faith I please God, and without faith it is impossible. Now you think about, do you believe that God is a rewarder of those who seek him? It doesn't say he's a rewarder of those who belong to him. It says he's a rewarder of those who seek him. See, one of the problems with working faith and exercising our faith, that it seems like the American church gets so hung up on being bought by a grace you cannot earn. And for some reason, I don't know why, but it's like they treat everything like, well, there's nothing I can do. But that's not what the scripture says at all. Do you believe God is a rewarder of those who seek him? Do you believe when God, that he's going to take you to something that you could do with or without him? Is the real promises of God that which you could do with or without God? Technically, that's not possible. Because if faith is the mandate of what God demands I walk in, then most of my life is going to be something that could have never been. And I'm going to not walk, it's not talking about walking on air, but where God is the only way I could do what I'm doing. This is how the Lord operates. People many times will have a Christian faith that demands nothing. They won't step at all. In fact, the average Christian isn't talking about doing the impossible. The average Christian is fighting with, I don't want to do this because it's outside of my comfort zone. And the reason that's very wrong, and the reason that'll really hurt us, because God wants you to take steps that are supernatural, way outside of your comfort zone. He wants you to take steps in the areas where he would say, Mike, I'm bringing you into this thing, but everything in there creates impossibilities, but I'm going to do it. That's the work of God. That's the work of faith. The fact that our lives may run into things, the truth is, why should I fret when I am faced with impossibility? When it's a God design. Why should I ask God, give me feats that I can believe with or without you? Give me feats that I can just go through emotion. Please give me promises that you just give to me, God, that I don't have to believe you for, that I don't have to fight for, that I don't have to take into account something that is bigger than me. Give me something, God, that just comes to me. The only thing that happens is nothing. Where there is no faith, there will not be much else, because the problem is twofold. When God wants me to step in faith, he needs me to step. He won't step for me. He's given me a spirit. He has given me a new nature. He has seated faith in my spirit to where if I take a step, he'll fill it in. But he will not step for me, because actually that would violate the rules of faith. Can you be changed in your being to where you rejoice when you face something that's that hard that only God can do? Can you grow? Can God make you the kind of person to where instead of fainting, maybe getting afraid, to where you see this thing and you go, that's impossible. Oh, there we go. That's a God task. That's impossible. That's something I cannot do. You know, it's impossible to please God without faith, so we know that we've got to grow in our faith. When I read something like this, it doesn't taunt me because I've taken many steps, although I will say this. There are new seasons in your life that will require new steps of faith. There are new feats in every season. It's not over. I didn't cross a threshold. And you know, it was interesting. One day, many years ago, they did a Pastor Mike and Anna Appreciation Day. And a lot of people got up and said nice things. And it was a wonderful thing. People were there. There was a huge crowd. And people said something. And my brother, who's deceased now, made a comment. And I remember comments all a lot. Honestly, I remember so many comments made that day. But he said, I could say a lot of things about my little brother. And he had to call me his little brother. No, I think he said Pastor Mike. He said, but one thing about Pastor Mike is he is this guy that if he's in the boat, he'll walk on the water. He will get out. He'll force himself. He'll be uncomfortable. He'll be nervous. And he'll step right out on it. He never hesitates. That's a really good thing. I would love you to know me for that every day of my life. But the reason I'm saying that is not a brag. In fact, it's just the opposite. At that time, we had crossed some journeys and did some things that only God could do. Absolutely. But there would be new seasons where I would have to step out of the boat again and again and again and again. And my desire for God to stop that. Father, you got to stop making me step out on the water because I'm older and I did a lot of good stuff like that. I walked on a lot of water, God. But isn't there a point where I walk on a lot of water, where I stop having to walk on water? But that's the point. We live by faith. We move by faith. We exist by faith. We pray by faith. We serve by faith. Faith isn't a magic potion. It's the currency of the kingdom that we walk in. And truly, we must focus on it and realize what it takes. Whether that is saying, we talked about prayer language and said, you know, do you believe that when you speak in a tongue, in fact, one of the tongues, I use the word ecstatic, meaning no man understands. So there's a language that is not even of this origin, that nobody can understand. Do I believe it is what it is when I do it? Do I believe in faith when I serve? Do I believe there's a lot of issues where faith is actually, it's like the door of faith you have to go through. And unless you swing it through and walk through, you'll never grow up. B, you'll never experience God in his fullness because that's something that takes faith. Even when we get in the service and I call out and say, God's in this place, and I pray that our eyes would be open. And because I am stirring your faith, I am speaking into you. I'm trying to impart promise and hope. I'm trying to say, God is here. I can see, even before I can feel, I can see the Spirit of God in the sanctuary as people worship Jesus. So I'm going to speak into you so you can not just be challenged, but so that I can say, hey, I see this. I'm seeing it. I don't know if you're all seeing it, but I'm seeing it, so I want you to get a hold of this, and I want you to experience this, and I want you to know this. The problem is faith becomes a sidetrack. It really does for any of us, and it's kind of easy to go through the motions. But the problem is, whatever I do, the most basic elements of my Christianity or the most advanced elements of my Christianity, whatever I do is going to have to be by faith. If I pray, I have to settle that issue because if I don't believe God's a rewarder of those who seek him diligently, then my prayer isn't offered in faith. It's a script. It's rote. It's something I'm repeating. The cure to faithless prayers isn't to stop praying and wait for the right emotion to hit, but the cure to a faithless prayer life is where you really take it and say, Father, I think I pray in doubt. Father, I think I pray in doubt. I think I go through the motions, and I need to know. Let's be honest. If we believed at all times that prayer did what it says it does, people would flock to prayer. They would want it more than food. They would want it more than water. They would want it more than life. Let's be honest. If our faith was at just a God level, just where he needs it, and we understood that this was the handbook written by God through fallible men, we would chew it up and follow it and obey it and listen. But what I really believe God's doing in this era is he's raising up men and women of faith. He's not raising up men and women necessarily that have to be super intellectual. He's not raising up men or women that can talk smooth. He's raising up a generation of those that understand faith and can walk in it. And that actually understand without it, they're not going to please God. Now, if I live my life faithless, and I'm a Christian, so like I said, I've got some rules, I do that, and faith has really went away from me in all these areas where I need faith, there's nothing more empty about Christianity when faith is gone. It's rigorous. It's duty-bound. You do it because you should. When Satan comes in and he steals truly the reward of faith, because I function through it, he knows he's gutted the church. He knows when a Christian does not believe that he is a rewarder to those that seek him, he knows he's got you in the water dead. Because he knows if Mike Cipolla doesn't believe it, he will pray mechanically, he will pray the right words, but he won't believe a thing he's saying. Now, I want to say something to you. I would love to stand up and tell you how I've conquered all this, how I never doubt, how I never get hit with fear. But the new challenges come all the time, and I have to step up. You know, we talk about being faithful, and that means being consistent. But the other issue, being faithful in faith, is a big thing. We have to think about this. You know, some people will go, oh, did you get that introspective? You talked about like prayer language and you talked about this. Do you really get all hung up? I don't get hung up. I've actually had the Lord come and speak to me and saying, Mike, and I've been doing something spiritual. And he would say, do you believe what my word says is going on right now? I actually had the Lord come to me, and it might as well have been a phone call. It was so loud in my spirit and my mind. I could hear it so loud. Do you believe that? He challenged me. He didn't say, well done, Mike, you're so full of faith. He said, do you believe it? And he told me very clearly, if you're going to do this, you better believe it is what I say it is, and you better believe it does what I say it does. He didn't say I was unbelieving, but at the same point, I think he was saying, in a way, you're not thinking about this. It never crosses your mind much anymore, and you're very good at doing this or doing that, but I need it to cross your mind. I needed to cross your mind. I need it in your spirit. Do you believe? Do you believe? Do you believe? If God speaks to you or gives you a word or you're going to pray for somebody, where are you at? Do you immediately say, I don't have enough faith? And this is where this kind of gets hard because Satan lies through this. We think of levels of faith, but the Bible talks about faith or no faith. The Bible doesn't go levels 1 through 10 of faith. The Bible says you believe or you don't believe. If you actually look at this, Jesus, and really what a lot of people don't understand, remember when Jesus said, if you had the faith of a mustard seed, which is, isn't it like, it's real little, right? It's like about like this. He said, you would be, say to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea. And he says, and it would be done. When he does that, he's not talking, it just takes a little faith. What he's saying is any faith is a lot of faith. The faith that believes God for one thing is the same faith that believes God for another thing. I think the enemy comes and tries to say when God's asking you to step out, I think the enemy kind of comes and first thing he does is he gets into portion faith. You got some faith, but not that much. And we actually many times believe a paradigm and a dichotomy that actually doesn't exist. To have faith is to have faith. To have an absence of faith is to have an absence of faith. But to get into the, you're super spiritual and you got a lot of faith and I have a little faith. Sometimes it is a bit of a myth. The same faith that you had, I want you to think about something and mark this in your mind. If a person believes Jesus died on the cross when you got saved, when you actually came to the Lord and your mind was sober and you saw it and you truly believed you were a sinner and you prayed and Jesus saved you, you just demonstrated the most extreme faith that will ever be needed. There is no faith greater than the faith that believes the gospel story and believes regeneration of your spirit by the mercy and the blood of Jesus. It's impossible to do. You can't be saved. So the fact is, anybody that has truly come into Christ and has truly made Christ their Savior, has truly accepted the Lordship of Jesus Christ, has already, for the very entrance into the kingdom, has exhibited a faith that is the greatest of all. So the stuff about raising the dead, healing the lepers, curing the cancers, the blind will see, that's actually, to be honest with you, physical regeneration actually is less strenuous to the divine hand of God than spiritual transformation. it's the most difficult. And this is what's really critical today for us, because God's leading you in a journey. Always, it's going to take faith. It's always going to take faith. There'll never be a way around it. God will never say, Mike, I'm going to give you a path that you could do whether you believe me or not. That wouldn't make sense, because there is never a God task that can be done without needing God for it. And this is the illusion of a religious spirit and an illusion of empty religion, is when we really don't. And then when people disbelieve, it's like, if I don't really believe that God's a rewarder when I seek him, well, yeah, I could still pray in unbelief and I could say the same things. They could even sound similar. But Satan robs us of that ability to understand the truth of what God says, to understand the truth about who God is, to understand the truth of what he's doing in us. And there's such a desire. You know, I was talking to a friend and I said, God likes to do things out of thin air. And he said, do you want to explain that? And I said, yes. I said, God's at his best when there was no earth and he made one. He's at his best when there was no waters and he said, let there be waters. When there was no light, and he said, let there be light, and the sun was made. God, this is the point. In fact, he brings up that the worlds were created out of that which was not. So God's at his best when he is simply doing stuff out of thin air. That's his creative hand at its best. That's his creative hand in your life. Now, I say this every time I talk about it. Supply lines and understanding confluence lines, understanding logically what's going on. And sometimes that's not a blessing. It's mostly a curse. Because God says, I create, Mike. I do things in your life that are out of thin air. I bring things that you could not look in the weaving of your life and see where that could work out. Because I'm the Lord. I create. I in your life. Your life is a creation. Think about something. The life we now live was totally out of thin air. We were not those people that would live this life. And suddenly, out of the miracle of rebirth, we are now God's sons, God's daughters. We're living lives that did not exist for us. No possible way. But it's going to be really important, because functioning in the spirit, functioning by faith, everything has to be done. And it is not, I am not like standing here today to give you doubt, like, and make you feel bad. That's the fact, God forbid, it's the opposite. I'm standing here saying that as a child of God, God has seeded real faith in you. As one who's accepted Christ, you've already exhibited a great faith. Really, your faith isn't so much like, I got to grow to where I get to that point. I believe that's an illusion. When you believe God, in fact, what God says, if Mike believes me in little things, he'll believe me in bigger things. It's like a stewardship. And there's nothing wrong. God develops. And sometimes, listen, God is merciful. I remember years ago, things that God asked of me, and I got to really say that in some ways, God allowed me baby steps. I'll be honest with you. I look at my life, I look at the demands and the ministry and the things, and God worked with me. There's no doubt about it. He didn't choke me. Absolutely not. But at another point, it comes to a point to where we are so tempted to live outside of faith, and we are so tempted to follow what we feel, follow what we're comfortable with, follow whatever. But it's funny, because God's going to always bring to Mike Cipolla the things that only God can do. And then he's going to say, no, do these. And he's going to always come and say, I've got this thing for you to do, but it's not doable. But that's the beautiful part, because then the fact is, only God can do what only God can do. If God brings about works in your life and you walk in faith, he's going to do things that people will look and say, I never thought he or she could do that. It's not possible. Now, I want to warn you, this is not about, people hear a message on faith and they take it like positive enforcement, and that's not what I'm teaching. Faith is a divine tool given by God, by his spirit, by our regeneration. Oh, sure, you could get a positive attitude and say, I think I can. I'm not downing a good attitude, because I think a good attitude is important, but I don't want you to confuse this, because I've seen people walk out of sermons on faith and they just say, you know, God's going to do this, and it's like a buffet line. Like, I'm believing God now. No, it's not whatever you can think of. It's what God's thinking of for you. It's what God's bringing into your life that you must believe. But I really believe that there will be a challenge in walking in faith to where God will not throw a support beam down to where you can see it so clearly. It's interesting when Peter meets Jesus on the water because Peter's this guy that had followed Jesus, right? And Jesus bids him to come. That is a secret. He didn't come till he was bid. And Peter does start walking on water. It defies a lot of things. Law of gravity. There's violation of laws of physics, but, you know, just regular law of nature. I look at it and I think, but if you bid me, I will come, you know. Peter goes out on the water. He looks around. He starts studying the scenario and becomes afraid, and then he sinks. But faith pleases God, our willingness to be guided. And I think about, somebody might say, well, where can I exercise faith? Well, I think this is a great start because the Bible tells us, and God tells us many things that we can take not only hope in, but we trust. It's not hard to know whether I trust God in an issue. It's not hard at all because I walk in trust. It's not hard to know when I fail, too, and when I've walked in fear, and you can see it. But faith is going to be the guiding factor here. And if God is pleased, is it possible that his pleasure is my peace, that his pleasure is my joy, that his pleasure is my true happiness? I understand in the world that people live and they seek out happiness apart from God entirely. They literally seek out happiness. I was there in the world, and I sought out happiness. In fact, my happiness was contingent upon a whole different schematic than God. God was no part of my life. My happiness was based on actions, circumstances, things that I wanted. Boy, it's a hard life because, let's be honest, the desire to satisfy ourselves never goes down. It always goes up, doesn't it? But then I understand that faith pleases God, and it's interesting. Because I remember the first time I grieved the Holy Spirit, and it kind of hurt. But what surprised me is that certainly had never hurt me before. And I didn't have a lot of people telling me the rules, but I did an action that absolutely was not right. And my chest was just like, wow, what is that? You know? I don't want to take it as far as remembering how the Grinch stole Christmas when he finally gets a heart. He's like, what's the deal? But the fact of the matter is, it's interesting because God wants to bring Scripture alive. He wants you to trust it. He wants you to see it. These aren't cool sayings. You know this, and I know this. These aren't nifty sayings. These aren't, you know, they sound wise. It's the Word of God. Men have changed nations based on their trust in this book right here. Men have changed nations based on their trust of the God who wrote this and the God of heaven. And they worked in faith. You know, I thought about something. In the first psalm, it says, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sit in the seat. Sit in the seat of a scoffer? No, stand in the path of sinners. It says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And I used to wonder about, why would I meditate? Like, you know, I read a verse, John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, you know, and can quote that on to you, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life or have eternal life. And I think about, why would I meditate day and night in a verse or a passage? Because truly when I have faith and I understand God wrote it, I see an endless source in the Scripture. So when faith really plays a part, even in my Bible reading, the Bible is exciting, and it's relative. I need it. And I wondered, how do these guys, like, blessed if I meditated? You meditate day and night in life. You meditate day and night into something that you know gives life. You're going to meditate day and night into something that is written by the Creator of the universe. See, the enemy doesn't want you to ever get a hold of this because he knows when you break that boundary and you start exercising faith, you're very hard to stop. The early church had 11 guys. Well, it had 12, one failed, but they had 11 guys that turned the world upside down. And those guys believed God, they trusted him, they walked in faith. You know, I look at Peter, like with his garments, where they could put him on the sink, and they would get healed. And I kind of look at that. But I also realize that, you know, we think of that like super, you know, metahumans, you know what I mean, with these supernatural powers. But there's a lot of faith going on in Acts. Do you realize that? When Peter looks at the beggar and he sees that he's begging and the guy's asking for alms and he says, what I ask you, what I have, I don't have silver or gold. He says, here's what I'm going to give you. And he says, rise up in the name of Jesus, walk. He grabs the guy by the arm. The guy's ankles were strengthened. But you understand that even as Peter's reaching there, it's a huge measure of faith he's doing. A lot of people go, he was just certain. Well, he knew what God was doing. He believed what God was doing. He grabbed him. But think about the story. Nowadays, you would go by and say, I don't want to be extreme. And if God's going to heal him, he'll stand up on his own. And that's where it gets kind of funny, because there are abuses of quote-unquote faith healers, but at the same breath, you've got to look in these scriptures, and you can't negate them. How many people would reach out and say, I need to grab your hand. I believe God's restoring your ankles right now, but I'm going to grab your hand and stand you up. How many times? Nowadays, many times we relegate, and we kind of say, yeah, well, if God wants to do it, he'll do it. But what cracks me up is the scripture is full of men and women stepping out in faith. And I don't mean faith, like I said, believing for the sake of believing isn't faith. But believing truly what God says and what God's doing, that is faith. I talked to somebody about, I don't know, it was healing and casting out demons. And the guy said, I don't mess with that. I let Jesus cast them out. And I had been in deliverances where guys were mentally insane and regained their sanity due to casting a spirit out. I had seen guys that were actually crazy where they said they had a complete psychotic break from reality. I mean rubber room bouncing off the walls. I mean break. But again, who goes? Who casts the demons out? Who goes? Who grabs the guy by the wrist? God is not going to do my part of what he needs for me to step out. He will do. Now, here's the beautiful thing. God will do his part, always. God never fails you. But God will not do Mike's part. I can't say, God, I'm nervous. Take this back. Now, every time, and I'm going to say this, I do believe trusting God is contagious. And I believe when you let go, what do we let go when we really trust God? Think about this. Let me give you my testimony. Mostly, what I let go when I trust God is a fear. I have a fear. I have a fear of what I believe could result by whatever's going on. And it's funny. Remember the old saying, there's nothing to fear but fear itself. There's a deep truth to that. I have hit things in where I'm going through trials, where there's things I so try to avoid, situations I try to avoid. I try to control that which is around me, because to me, Jim, if you would say, I got an answer, Mike, trust God, I would be like, great. Anybody else got an answer? Because that is not exactly an answer for a man of sight. But I have found that when God wants you to trust him with something, we keep going, we got this thing when it comes to doubt. We go, yeah, but there's this and this, and this would actually happen if this doesn't come through, and we've got it all figured out. We actually many times don't realize that there's a place of peace beyond that wall of fear. When we truly step out and say, I trust God, it's not, we go, no, it's just the facts, man, but no, it's really got more to do with how I'm reacting to facts, how I'm not putting truth in the slot. Think about this for a second. Many times we claim that we're fearful for a good reason, but that would be inconsistent with Scripture, because there is no good reason to fear. This is the illusion. Now, I could take you through the whole, there's logical fear, like, you know, your granddaughter is playing on the Eisenhower and the yellow line. That should raise your blood pressure. But you understand, in the issues where God needs you to trust him, where you go, I can't. And this is the lie we tell ourselves. No, I'm afraid, and I got a reason to be afraid. And when it comes to faith, this is a huge lie that Satan feeds into our mind. He says, you're not fearful, you're just dealing with reality. But if you think about the steps that God asks you to take in faith, I'm going to tell you something right now. You're not dealing with reality. You may be looking at a situation, but you're definitely not looking at it through the truth of God. You're definitely not experiencing it through the eyes of God. And you are fearing fear itself, and we cling to it. There's a security in fear. See, a lot of people, when you say this, they go, that's just not true. It's true. There is a security in the fear. Fear was my ally for a large part of my life. So to really, for somebody to first say, Mike, you can actually let that go, it seemed illogical. What do you mean? I'm afraid for a reason. I don't want to do that. I don't want to step out in faith and look at this. And that was the $10,000 lie that I got fed. You're not paranoid. You got a reason. And we tell ourselves that. And then we don't step out when we need to because we convince ourselves we're simply reacting appropriately to what we're seeing. And that in itself is a lie. Because when God asks something of us and he asks us to step in faith, it is not an appropriate reaction to fear to the point of freezing up and not stepping in faith. That's not appropriate. That's actually an inappropriate reaction. You're God's men, you're God's women. This is really important. I want you to think on something. Application of God's word also is what faith does. We have marriage, relationships, church, your job. There's so many areas that you're going to have to see through God's eyes of faith. How does a person when their integrity threatens their employment? What do you do with that? That's tough, isn't it? How does a person deal when their integrity may cost them their job? I remember when we have state books on, and my wife worked mental health longer than I did, actually, and we would have these, they're called blue books, and you do reports on your residents and all that stuff. These are legal books, actually. Well, HCFA would come, and they're the state agency that oversees, like, mental health programs and makes sure we're following regulations. These books are supposed to be recorded in every day. I had a manager throw four books and said, just fill in the blanks. And I said, what do you mean? Well, just fill them in, just the programs you did. I said, but I didn't do them. It doesn't matter. HCFA's coming. Fill them in. I said, I can't. I said, if you want me to take all the residents today and do all these programs, I'll take all these books, and I will fill in that which I did. And this was my supervisor, actually. Now, she couldn't have technically fired me, but she could have made my life very miserable after my refusal. And so I said, I'll do that. Well, she went, never mind. And she called another employee to fill in blanks that was actually illegal because you can't do that in Blue Books. They're legal documentation. Okay, case solved. So there was a time, and even that is faith, because I believe God asked me for an integrity. I was not willing to bend the integrity or the principles I live by, even though everything. Hey, when you, because she said, I'm your supervisor, Mike. It's okay. I'm the boss. I get that, but you're not the bigger boss. So I did some programs with some people and filled them in for the day. The other two employees got on the books and just started writing fiction. And they did it really good, and it was all right. HCFA came, and everything was okay. But what's that mean when we step out in faith? Think about this for a second. What do you believe about your marriage? Do you believe what the Scripture says? What do you believe about your wife? Is she what God says she is? What do you believe about your role in the marriage? Do you want to do? That's faith. So if the Scripture gives me a way to treat my wife, do I believe that? Will I act out in faith? I think a lot of people just don't believe. I think we Christians get comfortable because I have markers I use. I have this Bible. I actually own several Bibles. I have this one, another one, another one, and one on my phone. I'm a preacher. I've been in ministry for a lot of years. All that's really good. But the problem is that's where it gets dangerous when it comes to exercising faith. And I wrote something down. I wrote down a spirit of religion. You know, we always talk about, I don't want to be religious. Spirit of religion is based on doing things within the Christian faith without believing what God says about those things. That's how you get to religion big time. Blind obedience, I think, can be okay, but faith with obedience is really critical because you have to believe that. And you got to understand, when faith gets eroded from the Christian's diet, you know how we avoid doing things through faith? Well, we're going to do the opposite. We're going to live by sight. We're going to live by senses. We're going to live by emotions. See, because where faith is not honored, something really horrible creeps in, and it's not good. Then comes sight. Then comes you're bound to your emotional status. I feel good today, so I'm happy. I feel bad the next day, I'm not happy. This is my circumstance is just right. Oh, is this great? I hope nothing bad happens. That stuff is just so, the problem, reason I say it so cynically, that stuff will torture you. It will torture you. Good luck. You will know joy about 1% of your life. You will know peace maybe even less. Because once we get into the realm of sight and we just really kind of say life is what I'm looking at, it can get pretty ugly. And I think that's what's really critical. Because again, if God's pleased with faith and I please him when I exercise faith, his pleasure is going to be a peace in me. It is. But sometimes we get so hung up. And I know in my life I've had times where I'm so hung up, I'm just like going, I want to think about all that, but this is so traumatic what I'm looking at. And it's like you almost kind of go, I can't really think about that now. God wants to give you absolute faith, because here's the real deal. The day you got born again, he did it. The day you actually got born again, he seeded a bunch of stuff in you through the Spirit. You can just write this. I'm going to rifle through it. Romans 14:22 says, the faith which you have is your own conviction. Before God, happy is he who does not condemn himself and what he approves. But he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because his eating is not from faith, and whatever is not from faith is sin. Now, I want you to just quick thing. Paul was talking about in Romans the kosher rules. Some Jews, they got born again. They you know, it varies. They certain people didn't believe they could eat other than kosher. What Paul's actually saying is even people's eating had to be done in faith. Otherwise, a Jewish person would pick up a turkey sausage or whatever, and, you know, they'd get all condemned. And he's actually saying that their level of it's almost like they feel like they've sinned. Now, this is what's interesting, because even with this, Paul's bringing up an area that's not he's actually opening it up a little bit. And saying, you can do this, but you got to do it by faith, that God cleanses all things. And he's actually getting into that, because he who doubts is condemned. So even if I'm a Jew that got born again, and maybe God's having me do things that used to not be whatever I thought I could do, and I got to have faith, because if I don't, I'm actually going to be condemned. And this is an area you won't be condemned for eating a bacon strip. And yet the Jews had to have a faith in all the things they did. So do all of us. That's why he says, whatever is not from faith is sin. See, doubt is not it's not a weakness, it's a sin. And this is something from my own life. But like I said, you're looking at a guy that's wound extremely tight. Extremely tight. I love it, though. Like I told you earlier, verse 3 of Hebrews 11 says, by faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. How do you do that? How do you make something out of nothing? I mean, this is all molecules, all material, atoms, the whole molecular stuff. Everything here is visible. We live in a physical realm. You see it. But do you understand what it is to actually birth something? I mean, this cabinet this thing is old. This cabinet is made of wood. There's plastic siding. There's copper coils, different things to the speakers. These are horns, and then you get your they're 10-inch. They're mid-range. Do you guys understand that it's one thing to take materials and cut them and saw them and, you know, glue and have it, but to make the cabinet out of that which didn't exist is an amazing thing. This is God in your life, guys. Can God birth? I remember many times where I questioned people who believe God. When I was an early Christian, I was a real logic guy. In fact, my nerdism interfered with my faith, because when you're over-analytical, it doesn't work for you, it works against you. You think you understand everything. And I was telling the person how you just can't trust God for food. You know, it just doesn't, it's not like God marches bags up to your door. And as I was saying it, bags got marched up to the door, and people brought 13 grocery bags full of food. Well, at that point, I kind of just, you're kind of mumbling at that point, because you look like an idiot. But this person needed food. They really needed food. They really didn't have money. They didn't have food. They had no money to buy food. They loved the Lord. They went through a real hard time, blah, blah, blah. You know the story. But there it is. Now, you're going to say, that didn't come out of thin air. That came out of the grocery store. But the truth is, in their life, it certainly heck did come out of thin air. Because it came from a source that shouldn't have never been there. How did you know that? Their struggles were personal. Not only did they not share them, not a person knew. They lived in a decent house. It looked good. Nobody would have thought that for a second. Everything we do in a Christian walk needs to be done in faith. And I want to encourage you. You know, it's interesting. It says, by faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain. Do you remember what Cain did? He killed his brother. Because Abel believed God when he offered that God wanted it. He believed he was obeying something God had commanded. He was doing something, and he did it in faith. And because he did it in faith, his offering is accepted. Cain's is rejected. Think about this for a second. As we close today, faith is the hinge pin that everything operates by and succeeds. Wherever you're at today, say you live on a lot of sight and you need to start trusting God more. When you try to take steps, you're going to get hit at first. I'm going to tell you that right now. The fear that sometimes we make our ally in our comfort zone, it'll come at you real big time. Sometimes this is the necessary thing. How bad do you want it? How bad will you stretch? How bad? And will you realize that God wants to reward those who seek him? I do like it says those who seek him, because it really puts not a point system with God, but God asks things of me that when I do them, God is pleased. And God has a reward system. Did you ever think about that, guys? See, like I said, we get confused because God bought me with the blood that I could never earn it. But the life that I live, there's many things he asks of me. There's obedience he wants of me. There's things he wants me to trust him for. And sometimes it is just a matter of letting go of the fear. Because, like I said to you, we get this thing in our mind that we're simply reacting properly to the things around us. But if the whole Bible, if you look in the Gospels, you're going to see so many times where guys believe God. Just a couple thoughts in closing. I mean, you look at Peter grabbing the guy and he gets healed. I actually believe if Peter wouldn't have grabbed his arm, I don't believe that would have happened. I actually don't. Now, the method isn't what healed them. Because I've seen people like where I've seen a woman where she wore glasses and she was at this Indian evangelist. And she was really old, probably in her 70s. And the guy said, you know, how many fingers am I holding up? And she said, like, she was saying, I don't know. And he smacked her in the face. And then she, you know, asked again, and I don't know. And then he smacked her in the face. And the third time he asked, she said, 2, 4, I don't know, don't hit me. Now, that's because this person read a book about Smith Wigglesworth, who had slapped somebody once, you know what I mean? There was a little girl, that Miracles from Heaven movie, where she had a deadly disease, and she fell on her head out of a tree, and it actually healed her. And she said she had an experience with Jesus. That doesn't mean that Jim's got a problem, so I take him up in a treehouse and toss him over the balcony. You're going to be well, Jim. Oh! You know, this just doesn't work like that. But the reality I'm getting at, it's really important. Because this is the things that God takes us through in our life to step through. Listen, when you read about all these guys in chapter 11 of Hebrews, you're not reading about people with a favorable, their disposition was not favorable to faith. In fact, when I used to read where like Moses argues with God at the bush, I used to always love that part. It gave me hope. One time I read where Jim, I read where God was arguing, Moses was arguing with God. Remember, you know, send somebody else, I don't talk good. Which is not true because he'd been in the Egyptian court, so anything but. Some people say they thought Moses stuttered. It's a lot of speculation. But I think, and I read that and I thought, okay, I've argued with God, but Moses also believed God. You know, can you see the journey where Moses is talking to God in the burning bush, but in saying, send somebody else, I can't talk? I think if God says, I'm calling you, Mike, to speak to this, what do you guys think? I'm like, heck yeah, let me go. God, I just met with God. I saw a burning bush. I think it's going to work out well what I do from here on out. But then you see Moses stretching out his staff over the Red Sea and it parting. Isn't that amazing? That he goes from that to that. Is that powerful? He goes from that to holding out and says, do not stand back. Stand back and see the salvation of God. Moses is no different than you. Moses is no different than me. But I will say this. What does define Moses? Oh, he could be. I can be humble in Christ. I could be arrogant. Moses, it says, was the most humble man on the earth. I can trust the Lord to part the sea, or I can get fearful and say, you're right, we're dead. The water's behind us. The water's in front of us. The Egyptian army's behind us. You're jacked. Sorry you followed me. I hate to say it at this point, but really sorry, guys. Let's all rise and let's pray today. See, faith is something that God's already put in you and seeded. That sometimes he's going to bring ground state in your life, a state of ground that's going to be for the nurturing of that seed and to bring it out. There's nothing that brings a seed of faith out better than a challenge that God brings that we step through. And I will encourage you, please look at the scripture. We all hit areas that are hard and we all get tried in our faith. But trying your faith will purify it. I'm telling you guys. What did you believe God for 5 years ago? What did you believe God for 1 year ago? What did God show you a half year ago? What promise have you been hanging on? Keep hanging. It's as simple as that. Do you know, I've wondered sometimes because I get seasons and I get doubt. I have, absolutely. And I often wondered why those phases come back. And one thing the Lord showed me a while back, because I asked him about it, is that it's like, if that's still there, I'm going to cause it to rise up again so you can kill it, Mike. I didn't bring it up again so you can believe it. I'm letting it come up again because it's in your system, that doubt. And I need you to exercise it and get it out of there. So as we go today, we go before the Lord, and it's very critical. Very critical. Father, as we dismiss today, I believe that faith is the path that we're taking. Everything we do, the actions that you've asked of us, are going to be through faith. Father, we pray, even now, increase. I pray an increase. And what I mean is, if I have all that seeding of faith, but I've not taken a step, then it doesn't really germinate. Lord, I know there's so many things in life you've said, just trust me, Mike. Trust me. Sometimes that was not the thing, Lord, that I was really looking for. But it was the thing that I needed. Help us to be men and women of faith. I pray today because we get doubt. Doubt is the enemy of faith. Doubt is the enemy of faith. I pray today, Lord, I have faced so many different seasons where you've said, you got to step up. You have to stand, Mike. I can't walk for you. There's so many times, Lord, in where we need to say, can I just release that fear and just simply trust? Is that tangible? Will that be tangible? Will that be the way to go? Father, sometimes it is true. There's nothing to fear but fear itself. We cling on so hard that we think, oh my gosh, if I actually just start walking and the joy of the Lord's in me and I'm not worrying about these things, they won't be worked on. But Lord, according to what I'm reading, it would be the worry that would thwart the promise. That would actually kill the promise from coming. Father, I honestly believe, even in my life, and I can't speak for everybody here, but I believe some things were delayed greatly because of unbelief. Israel went 40 years. The same people went 40 years in circles, never actually entering the land they kept passing. Because it says, because of their unbelief, they were unable to enter. Father, we may think of this as peripheral or an issue that's not important, but not only is it important, according to the Word, it's everything. Help me, Father. I want to grow. You will ask me. We heard stories about people praying for people, you know, whose testimonies on Wednesday. That requires faith. Coming up to somebody and saying, you know, as God leads, what can I pray for you today? That's a powerful thing. Walking up to somebody and saying, what can I pray? What can I do today? What can I ask God for? Father, do we believe when we lay a hand on somebody that you'll touch them? I think it's really critical that we believe, we have faith that we can pray for the sick and they can recover. That if somebody is down in heart, that we can speak encouragement from God into them. That we can lay hands on them. That we can be a difference maker. Lord, this is not the little red fire engine that keeps saying, I think I can. It's not motivational. This is deeper. Faith is a fruit of the Spirit. Faith comes from you, Father. It's actually part of your mindset and your nature. It's actually how you see things. It's how you view things. So let us have, and when I read that verse that says that I have the mind of Christ, the first thing I think about is to be able to think like Christ, to be able to really have the mind in Christ. That's walking in faith. So I pray as we go today, Lord, many people will face difficulties, trials, hardships, but I really believe you're calling us to be those people that walk with joy. That we're contrary. We may be walking in something that many people would be bothered, but by faith we're walking through these things and we're not only smiling, we've actually got peace. Father, from a guy that's wound pretty tight, I know a whole lot about fear, burden, worry, but I also know what it is to have divine faith and the peace that comes with it. Father, I want to be pleasing to you, but this is kind of before so many other things that I need to believe. I need to have faith today. Restore us, God. I'm not going to stand up here and pretend that we don't go through things and that we're not pressed sometimes and that sometimes that we doubt. But Father, what I pray today is an increase. Dare we believe you to be good to your word, Do I believe you, what you've spoken concerning my life? Do I trust you? When the next time I go to pray, do I believe you're a rewarder that those who seek you? If I seek you, will you reward me? Will you give me that those things which I have asked? How does that work, Father? We need to believe that today. Take away the lies that have tried to infest us, because there is lies always. Take away the aspect of the human limitations, because Jesus, if I would have did only what I could see or be comfortable with that didn't require faith, I know I wouldn't be standing here today. I wouldn't have did a lot of things. So I pray today, might we believe you for thin air? And whether that is a trip, whether that's sometimes going to Asia, believing God's going to raise up what is needed, or at home, that God is going to do a miracle in the household. It doesn't matter. All those things require faith. So as we go today, I pray there would be an infusion, there would be an increase, that we could see with your eyes, hear with your ears. We, Lord, teach us more and more about trust. Father, as I close this, I know that in many ways, I think in our lives, we sometimes want you to bring stuff in a way to where we don't have to trust you. Give us sight, give us this, give us that, because if you do that, I won't worry about it. But Lord, from what you've told me is you don't got to worry about it now. It's not about me removing that thing. Get your head straight, and then I'll deal with it. Get your belief straight. So I pray today as we go from here, might our faith be renewed, the spirit of our mind. Might you bless us today, God. I pray for anyone, any one of us troubled about, you know, Lord, we could sit around and look at the future and get all weighed down and say, well, what about this and what about that? Father, do you really hold the keys to tomorrow? I believe you do. And if I trust you, you won't forsake me. So help us today to understand that your reward is in your hand. Your reward is in your hand. Might we trust you more than we trust anything or anyone else. Might I trust you first. And Lord, the last thing I pray, keep us away. Father, there are people that speak doubt all the time. That's all they do. Lord, I myself was one of those Christians arguing about a lot of aspects of faith early on. Even to my own shame, when you would write in my sight, you, the person that trusted you, you would reward them and you would bring what they had believed you for. I remember that, God, and thank you for that, that you were kind enough to silence that voice of doubt, right? Right at its core, you were there to say, wrong, they've trusted me. That's a good thing. Wrong, I can do this out of thin air. So blessings today as we go, blessings today as we part, and I would just pray, Lord, we have the Seder this Friday, which is exciting, the Passover, and now we've got you, Jesus, the Passover Lamb. So I just pray that you would help it go smoothly, every aspect, that it would be an evening to remember. It'd be something we could rejoice and look on our phone pictures and say, this was really amazing. And I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. God bless everyone. Have a great Sunday.